Welcome, first-time listeners and returners to the Sports Deli. To find out more about the Sports Deli podcast, check us out online at thesportsdelipodcast.com. And whether you're folding laundry, driving, exercising, or cooking, grab your favorite deli sandwich or bagel and your favorite beverage, and let's do this together in the Sports Deli. On this 22nd day of African American Music Appreciation Month, Pride Month, and 3 days removed from Juneteenth, we are honored to welcome Williamsport/York, Pennsylvania native and TikTok sensation, the auntie of trick shots, former WNBA player, Cash Money, Dr. Chantel Trematier, our 13th WNBA player or coach to join us in the Sports Deli during this 25th and historic season of the W. She never wanted to be the last person picked when she played, and this was a big reason why she worked so hard growing up. She played her collegiate ball at Auburn University and was part of three Final Four teams during March Madness, and was drafted in the third round of the 1997 WNBA draft by the Sacramento Monarchs with the 18th overall pick. And to be one of the original draft picks in the first year of the history of the WNBA is just a remarkable thing as we enter our 25th season of the WNBA this year. She shares a birthday with Snoop Dogg and Kamala Harris. She is a music producer, writer, author, and you can find her book, Those Angels Among Us, Parenting the Foster and Adopted Child, on Amazon. Writer, director, actress, rapper, and activist, and has done a ton of charity work with the youth of America. She coached at her alma mater, Auburn University, as a grad assistant with the women's basketball program. Texas and UMass, she started Black Minds. Minds is with a Z at the end. In 2005, which we will discuss later, she returned to Auburn and received her master's and PhD and taught at Auburn in their business school. She loves challenges and isn't afraid to challenge even former presidents like former President Barack Obama, as Barack follows her on social media. She shared her life experiences of being an adopted child, playing in the WNBA, producing a multi-platinum hip-hop song, being a Division I SEC women's basketball player and a Big 12 coach, acting in a Disney movie, and going back to graduate school after 25 years, and also fighting and beating cancer and opportunities across the country at conferences, college graduations, basketball camps, fundraisers, and corporate events. She's been featured on ESPN. She obviously works at Nike, and you can find her all over the place, blackminds.com, on TikTok, where she has 9.2 million likes and nearly 900,000 followers at Auntie Chantel, Chantel's with a CH, or on Twitter and Instagram at Auntie Chantel on Twitter, and on Instagram, Chantel, T-R-E-M, and on her website, ChantelTremetier.com. Man, it's an honor. You know, when Val said she was going to put it out there on the WNBA, you know, group chat or whatever, and then I saw the half court shot at Dick's, right? And then for those of you that remember, she was the one that got up, challenged in Dick's Sporting Goods and made the basically half court shot from inside the store, right? And you've talked about it a lot. And then obviously you blew up, you know, on social media after that. But it's been an opportunity for you to use your platform for many different layers. And so that's probably been the best thing that's come out of it, because you have so many different things that you can inspire people with, have inspired women, especially, people in the adopted children and foster community. There's so many different things. So, you know, just, I guess, from a chronological standpoint, talk about your childhood, because you've been quoted as saying, as long as you have a nurturing home, you know, that's what's most important, no matter, you know, who's raising you. So talk about your upbringing and how that obviously impacted the rest of your life in so many ways.
First of all, I appreciate you having me on. We'll be lucky number 13 today. I don't believe in unlucky numbers. So
there you go.
We're going to make 13 a lucky number.
Yes.
you know, childhood was amazing. I got off to a rough start where, you know, the day I was born, my biological grandparents, they didn't want a Black kid in their home.
Wow.
And so they told my mom, who was a young 16, that we're going to put the baby up for adoption. And they didn't let her see me in the hospital. And after 5 days being in the hospital with me, the nurse finally snuck her to the nursery. And it just so happened I was the only baby in the nursery at that time. And there was a big red X on my crib. And so I was named Baby X. But, you know, I knew at the end of the day that you know, I was going to not die as an X. There was going to be a name behind me. And, you know, after 2 months, was adopted into an amazing home. Kept seeing some more kids come in that didn't look like me. And now they started living with me. And next thing you know, there's 15 of us.
Wow.
12 of us were adopted and wow. 9 different nationalities. And, you know, it was just amazing. We never struggled. My mom and dad worked very, very hard. They did separate when I was about 16 and all the kids stayed with my mom. And so imagine having kids 15 and they're 9 years apart from the oldest to the youngest. So at one point she had about 13 teenagers in her house. So
that's crazy. God bless America.
But all of us, you know, she said two things you're going to do in my house. You're going to get a high school degree and you're going to learn how to swim. Cause I'm not going to be able to watch all y'all when we go to the beach, but, you know, got our high school degrees and everybody got college degrees and
wow.
And so, yeah, it was an amazing time and being around that many, different personalities and nationalities, Mike, from that many backgrounds taught me at an early age to not have any prejudice or racial biases towards anyone. And it also enabled me to be extremely outspoken. Sometimes that may get me in trouble, but you know, I've never really had a filter. And so I don't have one to this day. And I probably won't have one till the day I get older. Cause when you get older, I think the filter gets even smaller. And so, you know, over the next couple of decades, who knows what's going to come out of my mouth.
Yeah. Well, filter to one is marginalizing to another. So we definitely don't want, you know, that on any level. And I definitely want to talk to you about that a little later. But did any of your brothers and sisters go play big time like sports like you? I'm interested.
No.
Wow. That's not amazing.
A couple of them played sports. One of my brothers played football at a Division III school. But it was crazy because when we were growing up, my mom and dad there, her parents offered to buy us a sport court out back. And it was either going to be a sport court or a pool. And at that point, I was playing basketball. At a game. And so I came into the family meeting late and it was 7-7 tie. And I was like, Mom, you gonna put this on your youngest daughter? Like, I gotta have a pool or a sport court. And so I told her I love to swim. I almost picked swimming over playing basketball. I was probably a better swimmer than I was a basketball player. But at that point, something just, you know, came over me and God told me to tell my mom and dad, look, if you build a sport court, I promise you that you won't have to pay for me to go to college. You know, I was 13 then. And a few years later, luckily Auburn came around and gave me a full scholarship. And so I was able to keep my promise. So we had a sport court.
Yes, they did. And yes, your mom and dad did. That's so great. That's 7-7 tie.
No other athletes in the family. They want to feel like they're athletes, but my one sister beat me in a game of Around the World one time when we were like 8. And she reminded me of that the other day. So
that's
her claim to fame.
That's funny. You know, so it's funny. York was the site of a really great game. I was an assistant coach at Goucher College in Baltimore for a while. And York was the site of one of our championship games. And it's a small gym. The new gym's not small, but the old gym was small, Cracker Jack box. And it was so loud in there. So I know York really well. And, you know, Jay Billis has been on and you know, he talked about his high school experience and how, you know, he was really scarred growing up. And, you know, you grew up in a different, you and I grew up in different eras. The 3-point line had just come around. You know, it was the start of rap, you know, with Run DMC and Kool Moe Dee and LL and Eric B and Rakim. And, you know, like just, there was a lot of things, fashion was going on. So there was a lot of layers to this whole, you know, basketball culture, sneaker culture, music culture. So I'm just curious, because I think it's an important question, especially now, because it's a different era. People approach sports differently. Obviously, social media is a big part of it. But how was it for you, just as a woman of color? Do you identify as African American, so how was it? You said you had good experiences growing up, right? You were supported. You guys were okay.
Right.
But how was it as a woman? You know, did you looking back on it, realize that, wow, this was messed up? Or it was always like, hey, we were in a safe space all the time. Sports Deli is sponsored by SportRx, the leader in sport prescription eyewear. You can find them online at sportrx.com. And don't forget to enter the code DELI10 at checkout for your special 10% discount. And now back to this incredible interview right here in the Sports Deli.
You know, York wasn't that big to where, right. You know, the Tremeteer family spread out a long way over York. And so we were kind of sheltered in the city. And so, you know, fortunately, it wasn't until I got to college that, you know, I didn't have any problems with anything racial. I didn't have any issues with being a female. You know, I grew up with 9 brothers. And so sometimes I was treated like one of the boys. They took me down and played. I had to play tackle football with the boys. And so I never really, you know, I played in a baseball league where I was the only girl. And so I really never looked at it like that. I looked at, you know, it was more about me. And I think that's the problem with today is with social media. So many people are trying to portray themselves through what they think everyone else wants to see them through the screen instead of just being them. And I was always going to be me. My mom always called me the unbridled stallion of the family. And you know, I was always unapologetically me. And if that was a problem with someone else, then they were just eradicated from my emotional space.
So when you say what you see in part going on now, do you mean women of the Black and Brown community, or do you just mean women in general, or just right. Anyone?
You know, actually, it's in the sports arena, like in kids, you know, I think the disparities between women and men probably were already there. I didn't see it. Like I said, you know, in college, we didn't know what the men were and were not getting, because we were playing in the Final Four, playing in the national championship. So I thought that we got the best of everything. It's only now that you see, you know, but I know this, Mike, with my personality and this mouth, if we would have had social media when I was playing, and we would have went to a Final Four, and they fed us what they fed the women this year compared to the men, and gave us a yoga mat and a training table and a 1 barbell tree as opposed to what they gave them. Oh, they'd have heard from me. Definitely. Those TikTok followers and Twitter followers definitely would have heard from Chantel at Auburn.
Yes, so ma'am.
I'm glad social media wasn't around.
That's classic. And talk about the atmosphere, though. Like, how was it to go to school there? Like, because, you know, a lot of people listen are striving to maybe reach the highest level. And you reached it in many ways, right? Not only in SEC, but WNBA level. But how was it there?
Well, it's crazy, Mike, because Auburn happened by accident.
Really?
You know, when I started being recruited, I was telling everyone, you know, Pat Summitt and Leon Barmore, you know, I was telling everyone no, because I wanted to go to Temple. Because I wanted to be an actress at the time. You know, I wanted to be on the Bill Cosby show. Obviously, you know, now my feeling might be different about that. But back then. And so Temple called me and assistant coach called me and they set up an official visit for me. And so I was playing in the district championship. And that morning I had to go to work. I worked at Hardee's and I had to go to work. Early morning shift. Our game was later in the afternoon. And so I'm there and a gentleman walks in, Mike, and says, hey, are you Chantel? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, this is my name. Your birth mother is outside and she wants to talk to you. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, she's outside. She wants to talk to you. And you know, about 3 weeks earlier, she had called me on the phone and introduced herself and just said, I'm your mother. And so now this gentleman shows up and I said, I can't go out. I'm not on break. And so my manager was like, you can go out on break. Go ahead. And so I go out there and just for a few moments, and I see what would be my stepsisters at the time, went out there for a brief moment, said hello, went back in. It shook me. I played horribly that game that day. You know, had a chance to win the championship and lost it on a charge. And that night I thought I was going to get some good news. And, you know, coach called me from Temple, the assistant coach. And I was like, you know, sorry about the game. You know, this was on my mind. And he said, you know, I'm sorry too. And I said, but I'm excited about my visit. This was late in the year. And so he said, well, you know, we've decided that we're going to go with somebody else. Wow. And so, I mean, I was shook. And so I thought that was the worst day of my life because, you know, I could have gone to Tennessee. I could have gone to, wow, you know, Louisiana Tech or whatever. And so now there was no prospects. And it just so happened that my mom knew one of her adoptive parents that she placed in a home, knew Coach Champion at Auburn. And so she was like, look, let me just send you some film. And they sent him some film. He came up and saw me play in some all-star games where they introduced the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And I played really well and they took me on a visit. And then I went down to Auburn. And as soon as I got on campus, like the family atmosphere mirrored my family. It just felt like home. And I committed right there. And wow. So, you know, being there and obviously it was a better experience, you know, Mike, since, you know, it's always a better experience when you're winning. And so yeah. I went from being at Temple to going to the number two team in the country. And my freshman year, our first NCAA game, we had to play Temple. And
I was going to ask you if you found out who the point guard was.
I knew who she was. Like, I didn't know her, but I knew.
Yeah.
You know, I found out who she was. And we beat them by about 60 that first year. The assistant coach came up to me after the game. I mean, the head coach came up to me after the game and was like, you know, I never knew why you never came to campus. And I was like, what, coach? I'm like, coach, such and such, you know, he told me that y'all didn't want me anymore. So she brought him over in the middle of the court and asked him that. And he told her and she fired him right there. And so, you know, we went on to play in three national championships and I never looked back. And so what I thought was the worst day of my life turned out to be the best one. And Auburn was an amazing experience. And, you know, they treated us like queens on campus. And I mean, we didn't get to fly on the charter planes that right, I flew on later as a graduate assistant at Auburn. But
that's right. Exactly.
It was an amazing experience.
Wow. That's when you're in the middle of making other plans, another door opens as long as you're paying attention.
Right.
Don't miss those signs. And thank goodness for that family friend. Wow. That's so cool. What a story. Oh my God. I just got to take that in for a second. That's crazy. Oh man. So then you get drafted. Did you think you were going to go to the W? Like, was that your dream? You know, did you realize at one point, like, hey, I'm good enough to play?
You know, that's a story. So, you know, I got out of college. I coached at Texas and then I coached at UMass.
Right.
And then I tried out for the ABL.
Right.
I quit my job. I went home to Pennsylvania. I quit my job, tried out for the ABL, was told by Seattle I was going to get drafted and never got the call. And so that kind of shook me. And so then I was working as a dean of students at a school.
Wow.
And then the WNBA came around and I said, I just want to see if I can do it because there's no way I shouldn't have been drafted. There's no way. And so I called the director of player personnel, Renee Brown. And I said, Renee, you know, this is who I am. And she said, I remember you from Auburn. You've been out a few years. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, I want to come to the draft camp. And she said, well, we're only inviting 60 and we already have, you know, our 60 already picked. And I said, no, Renee, I want to come to the draft camp. Like, I'm going to draft camp. And she was like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I appreciate your gumption is what she said, but, you know, I'm sorry. And I said, well, let me ask you, are you going to be anywhere where you're scouting any of the players that you've invited to the camp or whatever? She said, well, actually, you know, this weekend I'll be in this was on Tuesday and I'll be in DC this weekend, you know, scouting some of the girls. And I said, Renee, you know what? I'm going to find a team before this weekend. I'm going to get on a team. We're going to win the championship. I'm going to get MVP and you're going to invite me to the draft.
And she, you know, she thought I was BSing. And so, you know, I spent all week getting on the phone. I didn't know anyone or whatever. So Friday evening, I got on a team, went down there on Saturday and Sunday. We won the championship. I got MVP. And after the game, Renee Brown gave me her card. And so it was just, I just wanted to see if I could get drafted. And then I was mad that I was the third point guard drafted. Mm. The first point guard drafted eventually played behind me in Utah. But, you know, finally getting that call and saying, you know, you're drafted and this is where you're going, you know, kind of validated the hard work and gave me a sense of whew, that's it.
Yeah, because it's not something, you know, a lot of people, they get drafted and then it's right away. And it's, you know, like whether it's Dejanay, you know, she can forget about that missed shot or the foul that wasn't called. And, you know, right. She's playing and, you know, she's not playing a lot. But, you know, but the fact that she's, you know, able to move on quickly, you know, you had to wait.
Right, right. It was, and I didn't go overseas. I didn't play. And then, you know, but I knew that I was in shape and I knew that I can play. And I didn't want to just be drafted. I wanted to be a starter. I wanted to be one of the first eight. There was only eight starting point guards in the WNBA in the world that first year, and I wanted to be one of them. And so I just put my mind to it and said, I'm going to do everything I can to be that one for Sacramento. And luckily I was.
Well, and you were in direct competition with the ABL, and they ended up folding. You know, and they didn't draft you either. So, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that part's interesting also. Wow. And so, you know, we're in the 25th season now. And I do want to talk about, you know, some of the historic things that went on last year and some of the things that just happened with Michael Jordan and Nike, obviously, that was just announced the last couple of days. You have all these things that are sort of connecting these dots where it just feels like there's such a big shift. And it's just great for young girls and people like yourselves because you're one of those pioneers. So, you know, how has it been to see the evolution of the league, the women themselves as advocates, because you've always been at the forefront and the game itself is so good. You know, it's not like 1 through 5 can play and the rest just rebound or play D. Like right. You better be able to you know, like yo-yo that ball and get by somebody. Otherwise the 12th player on somebody's roster is gone. You know what I mean? So Sports Deli is sponsored by Moolah Kicks. Moolah is Moolah, like money, Moolah. And Kicks, like shoes, one word. You can find them online at moolahkicks.com. And it's the first ever female-only brand basketball shoe. So it's a shout-out to the basketball street culture. And it is also about fighting social injustice and gender inequality worldwide and here in the United States. And again, you can find them at moolahkicks.com. And now back to this incredible interview right here in the Sports Deli.
We knew at the very beginning there was only 80 of us, and so we became a tight-knit sorority at that time. And we all understood that it was so much bigger than us, and we had to lay a solid foundation for the Taurasis and the Birds and the Griners and the Deladons and Sabrina, you know, for Paige Bueker when she comes. you know, I think that as far as playing against, you know, I'm still friends with most of the players that I was playing with or against. You know, I'm so happy for Becky Hammon and Teresa Weatherspoon being even in conversations and interviews for NBA jobs.
Dawn Staley,
I love it. You know, Cheryl Soups and I are best friends and arguably, and I would still argue that she's probably the greatest to ever play. You know, but I think you're right. I think that it's come a time where women aren't afraid to speak out and, you know, men have always been the voice of the country. And that's what's been talked about. But I think that women have always stood as the backbone of the country. And, you know, African-American women, if people think about it, African-American women last year changed the course of this nation, speaking up, because if that had they not spoken up, Raphael Warnock probably wouldn't have been elected. It probably wouldn't have and would have flipped Georgia back and may have flipped the whole election. And so women's voices are powerful. They're so important. And even, you know, Naomi Osaka, she didn't even speak a lot. She just said, I'm done. Like, I'm choosing me. And that said so much. And so, you know, I know that with Jordan and, you know, I get to work closely with the people over at Jordan and now with Nike, you know, we understand that women are the backbone, and now we need to support the soles that they stand on being the backbone. And so, you know, we're changing our mindset and giving women opportunities to not only be great on, but off the court.
I don't know how much you can talk about the whole Nike situation with the W and the players, but I didn't have that initially to talk about, but it's pretty historic. And I think we'll look back in 10 or 25 years or whatever, 50 years as, you know, this, and it's interesting because there's a lot of layers to a lot of things, but, you know, Jordan was criticized for a long time along with Tiger Woods, you know, right or wrong, for not speaking out, for not being, you know, doing more with their platforms. And, you know, a couple of people have come on the show and just said, look, everyone's different in how they handle things. And so, you know, Jordan obviously has done more things later in his life and his career. And, you know, from the whole Kobe induction to now the women, and he's been more visible in different ways. And I think it's a wonderful thing to see. And so talk about how historic this is. I don't think it's getting enough attention. Like, I see it plastered all over the place, but it's not necessarily on the morning news or, you know, ESPN. It should be featured more. There should be more people being interviewed. You know, meanwhile, we got Stephen A. Smith talking about Ben Simmons every single day. And it's like, first of all, leave the guy alone. Like, okay, so maybe he's hard-headed. Just say he's hard-headed and he's got to, you know, he's got to do some things if he wants to get more respect and change his game. But let's talk about something that's actually groundbreaking.
You know, one, yeah, I'm not really a fan of Stephen A. Smith, and I wish that ESPN would call either Chantel or Auntie to come on and debate Stephen A. Smith, because you know, I would make Stephen A. Smith want to quit his job. You know, and you know, it's at least right now, I mean, it's going to be baby steps, Mike. It's, you know, we know it, we're not going to affect change, you know, immediately. And at least we're having conversations. And you're right. You know, sometimes Michael may not have spoken as much as society wanted him to speak, or Tiger, or whomever it is. But I like to look at it, instead of seeing what they weren't doing, let's see what they are doing now. And, you know, women have proven when they've gotten a platform that they've been able to speak. And I think more importantly, you know, people loved Michael because he was one of the greatest, arguably the greatest. They love LeBron because, you know, he's probably the best in the world right now, or KD. You know, you look at Serena Williams, and people who've never picked up a tennis ball, who've never watched tennis, are watching her, not because she was the best player in the world, because they've been watching her for 20 years, but because she has a story. And I think that's where sports and Nike and Jordan, Converse, Puma, all these companies, that's what where they need to make the shift, Mike, is not necessarily what the women are doing on the playing surfaces, but start talking about their stories and how they can connect their stories with regular people.
Right.
And I think instead of marginalizing and commercializing women, the sports world needs to humanize them. And until we do that, our voices aren't going to be heard.
People would always criticize Venus and Serena's dad, you know, as the angry black man. Man, you know how hard it must have been to come out of Compton as two black women playing freaking tennis? Like, and that wasn't even thought of to tell that story and create that narrative. Instead, it was him going off on the media and things like that. I don't mean to get sidetracked, that kind of thing, like, for a long time, really pissed me off, because, like, they bit their tongue a lot. Like, in the backlash that they had to face, man, it's probably not even been told yet, some of the things that they had to face, you know, in the stand and just in general, being in a white sport, you know what I mean? So, man, mad props to Serena and Venus for everything they've done, and especially Serena being a mother, coming back near dying, you know, and her daughter's, you know, they got a tennis racket in her hand now, so that's cool.
I love watching her videos. And they even have Olympia's doll is famous on Instagram, Quay. So
that's right.
I love it. I love anything that empowers or just appreciates and humanizes women, and hopefully, you know, the conversation won't fizzle out. And, you know, I know that the people over at Jordan are going to do an amazing job with the WNBA family campaign, and Nike's about to do some really big things with some women. And so I'm excited to be a part of that as well.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I had, Natty White from Moolah Kicks on because, you know, she's created this shoe, for women only, for, you know, women's basketball only sneaker brand. And obviously it's not going to compete, you know, with the Jordan brand, but it's just great to see that people are putting all their energy into, you know, having their own brand for women. And it's long overdue. And it's, man, that you're a part of it is just, God, that's gotta be just, you wake up every day and you probably just, you're just going crazy, just thinking about all the things that the lives it's going to touch, like domestically, abroad. Oh man, that's just phenomenal. Kudos to Matt, props to MJ, the GOAT. And he's not just appearing in a picture. Like he's a part of this process, right? Like he wants to know all the steps and be a part of it, not just, you know, do photo ops and things like that. Right. Yeah, that's so awesome. So you taught for a while and then you're not teaching anymore, right, at Auburn?
No.
Yeah, no. Done with that whole thing.
it was a good experience. Yeah. You know, I had 135 in one class and 145 in another. And
wow.
You know, they did me right on Rate My Professor.
Me both.
You know, I hope they walked away with something good, and a lot of them reach out to me on TikTok and mm-hmm. other social media and just say, I remember you, you're my professor. And
so it's interesting. So that was in the business school, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So my former assistant coach when I was coaching women's JC ball, Dan Bruton. So he worked at Upper Deck. So he came on the show. So Kevin Garnett and Jordan. So it was very unique at the time in the early 2000s. Ken Griffey Jr., Joe Montana, Tiger Woods, MJ, Dan Marino, and I think I'm missing a couple others. They were all under his umbrella. And so he came on the show and talked about these stories, including MJ, about how humble he was, how he would sign autographs at his fantasy camp and like do all these things. And so it's interesting you're talking about MJ and what he's doing, because he's been doing this stuff behind the scenes for years, you know, but right. he just hasn't been at the forefront. So I want to talk about a couple other things if it's cool before we get to the famous rapid fire, but you know, we haven't really spoken on the show at all about the dreaded C word, and you know, you had a shirt somewhere that said "Be Cancer, It's What I Do," and on the back it said she picked the wrong one, right? So you know, obviously it was an emotional journey. Some things weren't going right. You were paying attention to your body. You knew something wasn't right, and then so obviously, you know, you were diagnosed with cancer. But talk about that whole journey, and obviously it's one of the more successful cancers in terms of you know, beating it and stuff. But what? More of what it did for you and how you maybe saw the world differently after
Sports
that.
Deli is sponsored by PSK. You can find them online at lids.com, pskcollective.com, tjmaxx.com, walmart.com, and now Kohl's Department Store at Kohl's, Kohl's is K-O-H-L-S, Kohl's.com. They have some incredible women's athletic wear that's all inclusive, and again you can find them online at 5 different locations: lids.com, pskcollective.com, tjmaxx.com, walmart.com, and kohls.com. And now back to this incredible interview right here in the Sports Deli.
Well, I had a sister who went through thyroid cancer, and you know, was coaching at Auburn, and you know, I just got a text. There was a group text from her, and she just wanted brothers and sisters to know, hey, look, my thyroid cancer might have come back. And so that night I just, you know, was like, let me check my neck. And so I felt
for that reason. Yeah. That's crazy.
That was it. And, wow. I was like, man, let me see what's going on. And so all night I'm trying to rub this thing away. And so the next day I go in and we have a game against Alabama. And so I talked to the university team doctor, and he touches my neck and he goes, uh-oh. And I'm like, how are you going to say uh-oh in front of me? And he was like, yeah, he said, that's probably your thyroid. What are you going to be doing on Monday? And I'm like, I'm going to be wherever you want me to be. Mm. And so they did a MRI on it. I mean, ultrasound. Mm. And, I'm looking at the screen. I see this big black thing and I'm like, that doesn't look good. And so they told me, look, we have to take this out anyways, because it's so big. So we're not going to test it for cancer. We'll put you into surgery. We'll take it out. We'll take out half of it. And then we'll test it right there. And if it's cancerous, we'll take out everything. Mm-hmm. If not, we'll just take out the side. We'll just take out the growth. So I went in 3 days later, and I got, half of it taken out. And so, obviously I didn't know. It was scary going into surgery, not knowing, coming out of it, that I may have cancer. So I came out of it and they said, it's benign. And so we only took half of it out. And so I went back 10 days later for a follow-up, and my doctor said, we might have a problem, because the senior pathologist thinks it's benign, but the junior pathologist thinks it's malignant. So we're going to send it out to UAB, get it tested. So it came back as malignant. So they had to go back in and take out the rest. And he told me, had we waited maybe 2 more weeks, then it would probably have gone into your lymph
nodes. Yeah.
And so they got it out. But, it was at that moment that I took a second, felt sorry for myself for about 5 seconds. Talked to the Auburn head coach at the time. And I just said, she picked the wrong one. Like she's not going to beat me. And so it was fairly easy to beat. And they say, if you're going to have cancer, thyroid cancer is probably the one to have, because it's the easiest to beat. What they don't talk about is thyroid cancer is probably the hardest to live with afterwards, because not living with a thyroid is almost like the needle in your car on your gas gauge is broken. You don't know how much gas you have left. And if you run out of gas, you'll be stuck. And so, my energy levels will go up and down. If my medicine is not working right, I'll pick up weight no matter what I'm eating. I can eat salad, I'm still picking up weight. I have to, manage that. And so, but I always knew that I was going to beat it. I just journaled my journey. I didn't let it stop me. I knew that my mom was also going through cancer. And, when I was getting my PhD, I tried to get it in time before she passed. I was a couple of weeks late, but, she knew that
she knew.
Yeah. Yep, and so, knew. It's, we talk about that dreaded C word but Mike, to be honest, I think the less people are afraid to talk about it, the better they can handle it. And your mindset going into it and fighting it is 90% of it. Like you just got to go in. And so, right now, I've been in remission. I mean, my chances of getting cancer are just as little or as much as yours.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I do want to tie in Club Sparkle, because I know that's important to you in terms of the support system that you have, not only the Auburn family and your family but supplementation. I have Crohn's. It's obviously different, but I've been on mega vitamin and mineral therapy for 26 years and been asymptomatic for a long time. And so I know the power of those types of things. So tell everyone who doesn't know what Club Sparkle is. And you have a couple of products that, you've talked about before, and you're not like necessarily a spokesperson for them. It's just something that you're talking about because it just works and it makes you feel so good. And sometimes you even miss your Western medicine, right? And a couple of times you're just like, oh, I didn't even realize I went a few days without it, and you're still fine. And how empowering that must be.
Right. Well, I've known the founders of Club Sparkle for about 20 years, ever since I was playing in Utah. I always believed in what they were doing, and it's when you don't have a thyroid, you're crazy deficient in selenium, And so you need that mineral. And so being able to take those minerals and vitamins.
It's an antioxidant, right?
Yep. I get all my vitamins. They're the best supplement company in Japan. So, you know, they're based here in Las Vegas. But now, actually, it's funny you said that, but now I actually am the brand ambassador for them.
Oh, seriously? Wow.
I've been taking it for a long time.
And, yeah.
So I just said, you know, let me try something different. And as I start doing my shots on social media and things, I would put the products in there, but never talk about them. I would just, every time I would go down and tie my Nikes, and this was before I even worked at Nike, I would tie my Nikes and make sure that the products are there so that people would be like, what are those products? And so they just bring up conversation, but you know, they saved my life. You know, they gave me energy and they still do. I still take them every day. And it's just, it's been an amazing, amazing supplement for me. And I know that it's helped a lot of people. So
it's not just for people with cancer necessarily, right?
Yeah. No, not at all. You know, it's your everyday.
Who had cancer.
You need. Yeah. No, it's for people. It's for everybody.
Wow.
Everybody. You know, if you're, you know, your body can't make its own minerals. So if you're not eating enough, then you're not getting your minerals. So it gives you your minerals. It gives you every single vitamin that you can imagine in two scoops, and you get every single fruit and vegetable in a tablespoon of concentrated Nectura. So, you know, I believe it's not about, you know, being a brand ambassador. It's, you know, I really believe in these products, and I've taken them for years and I'll probably take them till the big man calls me to go upstairs. Yep.
Well, and the reality is, if you could get all your nutrients from food, that's ideal. But the reality is most people just can't. They just don't. Right. So, you know, you got a supplement, and most people are just not educated on this thing. So now you're probably more educated because of cancer, which is sort of a cool byproduct of this whole thing. So I want to pivot for a second. We talked about the W, and obviously you talked about, you know, Reverend Warnock, and obviously the players in their own way, led by Sue Bird and others, you know, forced Kelly Loeffler out. Which was another good thing. She has no business being a minority or majority owner with that belief system. But, you know, mental health obviously is, you know, been at the forefront more lately with Liz Cambage or DeMar DeRozan, you know, some football players and others. So, you know, it was more taboo in the past. And again, this is another thing, Kevin Love, you know, people have spoken out about it you know, the pandemic really raised more awareness on top of it, just because, you know, there's more abuse because people were inside more, and it was just all bad. But the good part that's come out of it is there's more discussions about mental health. You know, it doesn't have to just be about CTE with football players. Like, it can just be multi-layered and just, you know, how hard it is to grow up, especially as a in the LGBTQ community, you know, girls in general. And it's you know, boys aren't immune to it, but it's you know, most of the discussions I think have to do with women, you know, whether a coach makes a comment about a woman's weight, like that happened in the WNBA, and you know, from my perspective, I don't think he meant it, but you know, he should have been punished,
right?
You know, but it all matters, you know, it affects. And I want to ask you this question, because I had a discussion with somebody today, because I think that we're, a lot of us who are listening and trying to learn more, to get better educated, not just to be more anti-racist, but just with the Black and Brown community, understand things better, instead of, you know, us telling the Black and Brown community as whites, you know, about themselves, like they're telling their stories. Don't tell them about themselves. And so a lot of times I'll preface things to make sure that the space is safe. So do you think that anytime a white man is talking to a woman, and I do want to talk about mental health, but it sort of ties into this, do you think white men have to preface anything remotely controversial or could be viewed as aggressive with, hey, this is a safe space. I know I'm a white male, but anything that you and I dialogue about, I consider you an equal? Or is that creating a different narrative where it's like the woman might say, I don't need your approval. Like, I'm good, you know, or do I need to go overboard and say, hey, this is a safe space. I know I'm going to ask you some questions that might be a trigger, But please understand that I have no agenda, no hidden intentions other than to get educated and be better, a better version of myself.
You know, I think it can be either way. You know, I think it depends on the person that you're talking to. It's with me, you know, I don't think it's necessary to, you know, preface anything. You know, if you're having a conversation with someone, look, you go into it thinking, you know what, you're hoping it's a safe space. And if it's not, then if you ask something that's offensive or right. someone thinks it's derogatory, then be okay with them letting you know that. Like, hey, that was, you know, that offended me. And be okay with that conversation. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you don't want people to have to walk around and feel like, man, I gotta say, hey, I want this to be okay. I want to ask you something. It might be offensive, but I don't want you to feel this way because, you know, nah, let's just have a conversation. And
so is it different with women versus African-Americans? Because I feel like a lot of white people that haven't been integrated at a young age that don't understand the Black and brown community, whether it's saying, hey, you're so articulate, you know, like buzzwords or women feeling oppressed or, you know, because I think there's a lot of people that listen to the show and they don't understand it, or they say, oh, well, that's just the angry woman, or, right. you know, get over your feelings, or, you know, and so then it continues to perpetuate the narrative of marginalization and people, you know, not being heard and feeling like what they're trying to have the courage to share, you know, is valuable and important. Even if they're on an island by themselves, they should still feel supported. That's their experience.
Yeah, I think it works both ways. And you know, I look at it the same way as I look at police officers and African-Americans. You know, if we as African-Americans want police to not look at all African-Americans as thugs and thieves and criminals, then we as African-Americans have to look and say that not all police officers are murderers. And I think that, you know, with what you were just talking about, you know, Black women have to understand that not everyone is going to, not everyone is trying to attack us. Not everyone is trying to, you know, put us down, but some people still need educated. And I think the shifting conversation doesn't necessarily need to be made between the white male and Black woman. I think the conversation needs to be made between the white male and his other white male friends who would talk to that Black woman that way. So you don't have to talk to me in a way that you don't want me to be offended or whatever. But if I'm not around and you're around another white male who is talking about African-American women like this, you be the one to say, yo, bro, like that's not cool. Like, no, like, because if you're not changing, then we're all not changing. Because when you go around that Black woman, now that Black woman's going to see me like that, too. So I think that's the conversation shift that needs to happen.
What a great point. So to be a white voice, but to be it behind closed doors when no one else sees it. Yeah, such a great point. So any thoughts about mental health and you know, where we are with that? And you know, are we going in the right direction, especially with the W and the support that the women are getting? And, you know, some people took the year off last year. They just, you know, they couldn't handle it. You know, whether it's Maya doing advocacy work, you know, or people just from their mental health, or Elena. Right. You know, from a health perspective, you know, those types of things.
Yeah. You know, I look at two ways, Mike. One, you know, people don't understand, or I wish that more people would try to understand really the pressures of professional sports. You know, we're talking about like Kevin Durant, who went off on Michael Rapaport in some DMs and things like that. And that was made a big deal. And yeah, Kevin was probably wrong in doing that. But for the times that he has reacted, there's 100,000 times on the court where people have called him names, and they're sitting this far away from us on the court, and they're calling us names and calling our parents names and things like that, where we don't react.
Spitting on you.
Right. And so you have to internalize a lot of that.
And imagine, you know, with Naomi, she's an African-American Japanese woman who's the best in the world at 23. And all this pressure is being put on her shoulders. We don't know the things that she hasn't reacted to. And so she just, and if, and now when you're in front of the media, they're going to keep asking you things about that. Every now and then you're going to want to break. And that's, that needs to be okay. That needs to be okay. On the other hand, I also think that, you know, I support mental health issues. I always have, you know, I have family members and friends who have gone through that, who have issues. But, you know, I said in a TikTok today, actually, that, you know, at the same time, you can't be someone that's struggling with mental health. You can't be someone that feels like you can say anything or do anything to someone. And then when they clap back at you, now you're playing the victim and saying that they're clapping back at you because you have mental health issues, right? Yeah. You can't throw down your shield and start shooting ammunition at people and then tell them, you can't shoot it back at me because I got to pick up, because I have this shield in front of me. You know, mental health is never an excuse for ignorance or being rude or bad behavior. So that needs to be, you know, it on both sides. Yeah. But as far as, like you said, as far as professional athletes, you know, people need to, they see professional athletes doing superhuman things. And so they expect these athletes to be superhuman. And they're not. You know, every human makes mistakes. Every human is not perfect. And so, you know, like I said, you know, it's hard when you look at someone and they're making $100 million and you're thinking that money does make you happy and things like that. But money doesn't buy anything internally. So, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. You want to talk about Blank Minds at all? Because I think that's something, you know, Blank that's Minds, amazing.
You know, the reason that I brought it up, I mean, the reason that I did it was, you know, because, and our thing is within its emptiness lies its infinite substance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one day I want to, you know, we're doing video production. We do graphic designs. We build mobile apps. And so I just wanted to be a blank canvas, mm-hmm. that anything I wanted to create in the future that I could, and I can put it up under the umbrella of Blank Minds. I still do. And
a lot of kids.
Yep. Yep. A lot of kids. And, you know, I just use it as my platform and, you know, try and teach the kids that, you know, whatever you can dream of, you know, you can do it, but you got to work for it. And nothing's going to come free and nothing's going to come handed to you. And so I try to be a support system for them. That's about it.
Yeah. And it's great because, we got to have more artists and photographers and doctors, and especially in the Black and Brown community, not just athletes that people are striving to be. That, you know, it's got to be across the board. The Sports Deli is sponsored by CityLocs, CityLocs. You can find them online at CityLocs.com, where you can go and make your own personalized license plate hats. They're so cool. You got to check them out. And don't forget to enter the code THESPORTSDELI at checkout for your special 10% discount. And now back to this incredible interview right here in the Sports Deli. All right, let's we'll talk about a couple of things in the rapid fire. You good? We ready to rock and roll? All right, let's do it. Buckle your seatbelts. All right, so you're a TikTok sensation, along with Val Whiting, who we had on the show, and she's the reason. Shout out, Val Flowers. She's the reason why you're here. But is there one video in particular that has meant the most to you out of all your videos?
A shooting video?
Well, I mean, you've done a lot of social, you know, you've done a lot of different kinds of videos, but which one sort of stood out? Not necessarily because of the amount of likes, but just you know, that you felt the most impacted.
Wow, that was a good one. You know, I there have been videos that I've clapped back on some Karens. There was one time I was in a Michaels and I was trying to get my doctorate degree framed, and I had a shirt that said Rap Fan on it, and there was only two other women in the store.
Oh boy.
And they said, you know, they'll give a GED degree to anybody these days. And I turned around and I said, ma'am, are you talking to me? And she was like, no, we're not talking to you. And I was like, well, I'm the only one in the store. And so I said, well, I don't have a GED, but I do have a degree that ends with a D and it starts with a PH. And so I pulled it out. And then so I told the lady behind me, I said, you know what? I don't think I want to get it framed here. I said, I think I might just want to get it put on my shirt. And so, yeah, so I enjoy calling out the Karens. You know, like I said at the beginning, I have no filter. And if you come after me, I'm going to come after you. And so, yeah, that was probably the most fulfilling. It probably wasn't the most fun, but it was the most fulfilling.
You have any regrets? I know you've been outspoken about some things that have happened in the W, people saying things, or just in general, like looking back on it, do you think like the way that the narratives are now, do you think you could have approached anything differently? And
I fought cancer, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't regret a thing. You know, the funniest thing about life is that none of us is going to get out of it alive. And so we only get one chance at it. And so I don't tend to regret anything. You know, I am who I am, and I'm going to keep being who I am. And if you clap at me, you better be ready, because if I have time that day, I'm clapping back. Yeah. And I'm going
to go.
Yeah. And you can call me any, and I tell them, you can call me anything you want. You can call me any name you want. Just make sure you put doctor in front of it.
I love it. What's the number one thing on your bucket list right now?
I want to go to Fiji.
Wow. Why?
I just want to go to Fiji and be on one of those huts in the middle of the water for about a week and not take my computer, not take my phone.
Ooh, Lord.
Just go hang out and jet ski. And that's number one on the list.
What's number two?
I want to make a huge difference at Nike. And I want to change the way that that organization does things with women's basketball in the future.
So great. It'll happen. Okay. So fellow Auburn alum inside the NBA. So Chuck, Kenny, Ernie, or Shaq?
I got to go with Chuck. Chuck's an Auburn guy. And he's like me. Like, that's exactly how I would. Like, they should put me on a women's basketball in show, because I would be exactly like Chuck, like no filter at all. And sometimes he'll say things that might hurt people's feelings, and he might even say sorry, but he meant it at the time. That's exactly what
right.
I
would. Yeah,
and that's awesome. On show with Stephen A. Smith.
Yes, please. That would be great. So talk about your shirt, right? Because you always yell "caca" in your videos. So is that what that is? Because I can see a few. So talk about, what is that, a sorority thing? What is that?
So caca is actually in Spanish means shit. And so, you know, right. But you notice like when somebody does something amazing, then you see like an old woman making a shot behind my back from my knees in the dark with a glow in the dark ball. The first thing folks say when they see something great, oh shit.
Okay.
I didn't want to cuss on all of my videos.
Yes.
And so I didn't, and so I wanted to spell it differently. So I said caca, and the AAA is because I'm all about action.
So cool.
I just started saying it out of each one, and a lot of people are wearing the shirts now, and people are yelling it afterwards. And I need to get LeBron to say that after a show.
Oh man, let's go. That would be amazing. That's so cool.
That's where it's from.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great story. So obviously MJ or LeBron, MJ. Ooh, wow.
I think that MJ is the most talented player of all time. I think that Kobe is the best scorer of all time. But I think LeBron is the most dominant player of all time. LeBron can play 1 through 5. I think that LeBron would have had more success playing in Jordan's era than Jordan would have played in LeBron's era. I grew up a Jordan fan. You know, I wore my shorts baggy. I was the first one to wear my shorts baggy at Auburn just because of Jordan. And I would try and walk like him. You know, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm a LeBron fan. I'm a LeBron guy. I'm a I'm a I'm a blue. Yeah.
So what point guard do you like watching in the NBA right now?
Chris Paul. Without a shadow of a doubt. Chris Paul. He makes
assist to turnover ratio. Holy moly.
That's why I did growing up and even in the league, like I would look at assists before I looked at points. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to make sure that my assist to turnover ratio was the best in the league. And he just makes everyone around him better.
Yeah, your senior year at Auburn, you averaged 6 assists, which is not easy in that conference. And, you know, a big reason why he had so much success. And
but I averaged 0.4 turnovers a game.
I was going to say, yeah, that's amazing. That 6, for all of those of you out there listening, to me, at any level, more than 2 turnovers in a game is not acceptable. So right. You need to figure out how to value the basketball better. If you think, oh, well, I got – you know, 3 assists and 3 turnovers. No, not good enough.
Right.
Not striving for mediocrity. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm playing 38 minutes a game my senior year in Auburn. I need to take care of the ball.
Yes, absolutely. So. Especially down the stretch. Heck yeah.
Sir.
Run DMC or Fat Boys?
Fat Boys.
Oh, wow. I love it.
I like their beats better.
Fat Boys are back. That's yeah, they had great
beatboxing. Just that was
oh
that was
man, great. Yeah, they were killing Eric B and Rakim, Slick Rick, or KRS-One.
Eric B,
ooh man, so underrated.
Absolutely,
let the
Absolutely.
Rhythm hit him. Yeah, Cool Mo or LL?
LL,
yeah,
the lips. It's the lips for me. It's the lips for me.
I love your watch band too. You got a Pride. Oh, that's awesome. Where can people find that? That's sweet.
I'm not sure. It was bought for me.
Oh, okay.
No idea. I don't know.
I love it. For those of you watching on YouTube, check that out. That's pretty cool. Super Mario or Tetris?
Tetris. You got to think more with Tetris. And you got to think more about the future. Like, I think as a point guard, you would like Tetris more.
Facts. Did you play Defender in Galaga back in the day?
I played Galaga. I did.
Yeah, not Defender. Galaga was bomb. Jolly Ranchers or Tootsie Rolls?
Pac-Man. It was Pac-Man for me.
Oh, Pac-Man. Yeah, for sure.
It was 100%.
Yeah, Pac-Man.
What'd you say?
Jolly Ranchers or Tootsie Rolls?
Tootsie Rolls all day. I love chocolate.
How you okay.
I can eat about 8 of the small ones.
The small ones, right.
Yeah.
Jawbreakers or Bazooka Gum?
Jawbreaker. You gotta see if you can. You gotta see if you can suck it all the way down to the bottom, and chew it.
Yeah, exactly.
My mom wouldn't let us chew a lot of gum.
Oh, that's classic. Sugar Babies or Milk Duds?
Milk Duds.
Sanford and Son or the Jeffersons?
Jeffersons. Come on.
Wheezy.
Yep, that's my girl.
Different Strokes or Different World?
Different World.
Interesting. Spinoff to the Cosbys. What's Happening or Good Times?
Good Times.
Yeah, man. Good Times was great. Waffles, French toast, or pancakes?
French toast every day. Ooh, I can eat French toast every day.
Anything on it or just?
It has to have like more powdered sugar than French toast. Like got to have powdered sugar on it.
Have you ever had French toast made with challah?
Mm-mm.
So it's a Jewish bread. It's thicker.
Really?
So that's my challenge to you. You got to have French toast with challah bread.
All right. I'll try that. Usually use Texas toast or cinnamon buns, but yeah, we'll try that.
Yeah, challah is amazing. Okay. Let's see. Brady Bunch or Gilligan's Island?
Gilligan's Island, because I was always trying to root for him to get off that island.
That's so classic. Family Ties or the Cosbys?
Cosbys.
Yeah. Billie Jean or Beat It, Michael Jackson?
Beat It. I like the video.
Yeah, video is classic. Eminem, Lose Yourself, or Usher's Yeah?
Eminem all day.
Yeah, he's amazing. Beyonce's Halo or Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You?
Whitney Houston is, I think, the best singer of all time.
Yeah. Yahoo or Google?
Google.
Apple or Microsoft?
Apple, Mac. Okay.
Rugrats or Smurfs?
Smurfs. I love Papa Smurf.
That's classic.
That's my guy.
People don't even know about that.
Right.
Hong Kong Phooey or Scooby-Doo?
Ooh.
See, the people don't know about Hong Kong Phooey.
Right. I think I'm going to go with Hong Kong Phooey.
Ooh, yeah, let's go. Get in that garbage can and get into that car.
I think I'm going to go with Hong Kong Phooey.
Tom and Jerry or Grape Ape?
Oh, Tom and Jerry all day.
Man. Wonder Woman or Bionic Woman?
It got to be the Wonder Woman. Like, she's dope and she's still around.
Euro or floater?
Oh. Floater is prettier, though. In the Euro, you know, it's a lot. It's controversial sometimes, gray area. I don't want to get called for a walk. So, floater, yeah. It is what it is.
That's classic. Xbox or PlayStation?
Xbox. So I can play Forza Sport. They don't have Forza Sport on PlayStation.
So if you were playing in the W now, what aspect of your game would you want to work on the most? Whether it's step back threes or coming off screens like Reggie back in the day and hitting right. threes in the corner, or what would it be? Scoring point? Would you rather be more of a scoring point, or did you like distributing too much?
I love distributing the ball.
Yeah.
Like, I love being pretty and getting the crowd into it and talking trash.
But you got to score now. You can't just pass.
Yeah, you're right. Like, and I'll get my points. I would get my point. I would shoot more. I saved my best games for like national championship games and things like that. I would probably look to score more. My teammates would love me because I would pass. I would want to average 10 assists a game.
I love it. That's so cool. So in the W, who's your favorite player to watch right now? Enrique? Skyler? Elena? Brianna?
You know, I love Elena Deladon's game. I love Liz Cambridge. I love just her swag.
Yeah.
But I can't go wrong with Asia Wilson.
Man.
She's over. She's a baller.
Yeah, she is.
I get to go down there and see them in Vegas. And
cool.
I'm hosting some runs for Renee Montgomery here in Atlanta coming up. And so they gave me some courtside seats. So I'm going to watch them play up close against Phoenix and I think the Sky and the Aces. So it'll be fun. I'm going to talk crap to the girls. Auntie, is that what?
So if you could bring anyone else on the show and co-host with me, who would you want to bring on the show after your time with us?
You mean who I would want you to bring on next?
Yeah. Or down the road that you'd like to surprise maybe and co-host if that's ever a thing.
Who would be good? You got to bring on Swoops.
Hey, let's do it.
You got to bring on Cheryl.
Yeah. I would love to. I've DM'd her, but people are busy and stuff like that. But hey, make it happen.
I'll hit her up.
All right, bet.
Yeah, I'll hit her up. That's the GOAT to me.
Yeah.
He's the hardest player I've ever had to guard. And I no disrespect to the players now, but I think that Cheryl's the best that ever played.
Hmm. Amazing. Well, I know your time is so valuable, and Nike and everyone that crossed paths with you has been and is so lucky to have you in their life. I only know what I've, done in terms of my prepping for the show and my research about you, but what you stand for and your journey, and I can't say necessarily the best is yet to come, but there's a lot of amazing things still to come. And, the next chapter is amazing. And, we were just talking sports on the show initially, and after George Floyd, we just felt like, I coached college ball for 23 years and I told you I have a daughter, and my dad committed suicide when I was 9. And, there's just a lot of things that I think are more important than just talking about daily sports and things that are irrelevant an hour later. And, hopefully people listen to what you had to say today. And, even 20 years down the road, they say, hey, this is still relevant to me. I can learn a lot from her journey, and, truly honored that you came in and shared space with us today, for real.
I appreciate you having me. It was amazing, and I'm gonna keep talking regardless, even if I'm gonna keep talking. But I got one question for you though.
Okay, bet.
Love Boat or Fantasy Island?
Oh man, Love Boat for sure. I never vibe with the plane, this is the Love Boat.
I love Mr. Rourke, and he made things happen, but the Love Boat, that was my thing.
That was a great question. I haven't asked that one yet. That's funny. That's cool.
But I appreciate you really having me on.
Yeah, no, it's been wonderful. And if we can ever do anything for you down the road, let us know. Obviously, you're doing amazing things, and One of my questions usually is 5 years down the road, you know, where do you see yourself? Obviously with Nike probably and change.
Vice president. That's what I want to be.
Hey, let's go. Don't forget us little people here on the Sports Deli. Cause we're just doing our part just to be a layer, you know, and hopefully some people learn a few things and they can share it. Like you said, behind closed doors with their people. And then, you know, over time, like with the LGBTQ community, you can see all the changes that have been made from healthcare to, you know, acceptance. And, you know, the same thing needs to happen with women and the Black and Brown community and people of Eastern, Middle Eastern descent. And it's just, you know, some people are going to be way over here, like with recruiting. You're never going to get them to come to your school. Right. Some people are coming right away, but there's a lot of people in that gray area, you know, that we can educate and get them to understand things better. And you know, you're someone that's doing that and I applaud you and namaste. Appreciate you.
Appreciate your platform.
All right. Sounds good. Talk soon. Thanks, much Mike. Love. Much respect.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Man, we can't thank Dr. Chantel Trimatier for coming into the Sports Deli. So many wonderful things that we talked about and what an education that was. And check her out on TikTok.
Remember, it's Auntie Chantel, Chantel.
And she's on Instagram.
And remember, on Instagram, it's Chantel Trem, Trem.
Twitter,
where it's Auntie Chantel. Twitter,
you can check her out on her homepage, ChantelTremetier.com.
And she's an author. You can find her book on Amazon, Those Angels Among Us, Parenting the Foster and Adopted Child.
And if you have any questions, you can always send us an email to thesportsdeli@gmail.com. You can always DM me on Twitter or on Instagram. On Twitter, it's @MichaelHootner and on Instagram, @MikeHootner. For Dr. J and Coach K,
I'm Hootie Hoot.
Until next time, please mask up, especially if you haven't been vaccinated. Remember, it takes a village. Stop Asian hate.
Black Lives Matter.
Peace.